Every year, the Maryland Humanities Council chooses a book which we're all encouraged to read and to discuss at events that the council organizes around the state. It's kind of like a statewide book club. Well, this year, they've chosen a memoir by Reina Grande. Her novels have won the American Book Award, the El Premio Aztlán Literary Award, the International Latino Book Award, and in 2012, she was a finalist for the National Book Critics Circle Award. Her memoir tells the story of her childhood in a poor Mexican town and the difficulties that she and her siblings endured as her fractured family forged a new life in the United States. Her story is heartbreaking at times, and it offers a trenchant insight into the immigrant experience and the experience of families everywhere as they try to heal the wounds caused by the problems of divorce, abuse, and dislocation. The book is called The Distance Between Us. Reina Grande will be appearing throughout the area this week in several events to discuss her book, and this morning she joins me in the studio. It's great to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Thanks for coming. Tell us about Iguala, the town in which you grew up as a child in Mexico.
Iguala is a city in the state of Guerrero. Most people probably haven't heard of Guerrero, but Acapulco is a city in Guerrero. And Iguala is about 3 hours east of Acapulco. So we're inland, surrounded by mountains. When I lived there, Iguala was very small, and it's still small. It's 100,000 people who live there. But to me, it was always a very rural place, even though it was a small city, because my family lived in the outskirts, in the developing areas of the city.
What do folks do for a living there, by and large?
Iguala, it's a very poor state, and Guerrero is the second poorest state in Mexico. So, you know, they're not a lot of opportunities in terms of work, and I think that's why a lot of people migrate from the area.
Including your family.
Including my family. There's not many opportunities. There's a large factory there that's owned by a U.S. corporation. It's a clothing factory, and I've had cousins who have worked there, but they make $50 a week, which is not a whole lot. And that's, I would say, one of the largest employers in Iguala. I think they employed like 500 people or so. There used to be a train station there. There was a train that would come by, and at the train station, a lot of people would actually find jobs there. My sister, when she was 12, she used to work at the train station selling food at a food stand, and my uncles used to work at the train station loading and unloading the freight cars that would come by. But then when the government privatized the railroads, that train was suspended, and it really caused a lot more people to go deeper into poverty because then they all lost their jobs.
And your dad left the family to come to the United States when you were just 2 years old, for that reason, right? It was difficult for him to find work in Iguala. Right?
Yes, my father was a bricklayer, so he worked in construction. And, you know, even before he decided to come out here, he was already leaving our house. He would go to Mexico City. He would go to Acapulco or to Sinaloa to look for work. So he was already leaving our house because there was nothing there in Iguala for him. And eventually he decided to go farther north and come to the U.S.
You're the middle of three children. Tell us about your older sister, Mago, and your younger brother, Carlos.
Well, my older sister, Mago, she's my hero, and I think she's the hero in the memoir as well, because when my parents came to the U.S., she became the mother, and she gave up her childhood to take care of me and my brother, and she was a really wonderful person in my life. She was very strong, and she always tried to make me feel better about our situation, and she tried to keep our hope up that my parents would come back one day, and she was there to take care of me.
So your father leaves when you were two.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom, your father calls for your mom to join him in the United States, but without you and your sister and your brother,
mm-hmm.
When you were, what, about four
I
years
I was four
old?
And a half.
Yeah. And who did you live with when they both left to come to the United States?
We lived with my father's mother, whom I often call my evil grandmother, because her name spelled like the word evil with an A, and because she was very mean. We lived with her because my father wanted us to stay with his mom. And I think for me that made my parents' absence so much harder because we were left in a household where my relatives did not want us there, and we were made to feel that we were a burden to them, and they did not treat us very well.
The lure of what you referred to as el otro lado, the other side, the United States. Did you share that passion and desire to come to the U.S. knowing that your mother and father were in the U.S.? Were you waiting, on pins and needles for the call to come to say, you know, now you can come join us?
I don't think I was desperate to come here. I was desperate for them to come back to me. And so, you know, and to me, like, you know, I wanted my parents to come back to Mexico because that was my home, and I wanted my parents back in my life. So I didn't think too much about coming here because I just wanted them to come back home.
Yeah. One of the things that strikes me, and of course, you know, the issue of immigration, undocumented people coming across the border is, of course, very much in the news, very much in part of the political dialogue in the United States now, is the relative ease and fluidity of movement between the U.S. and Mexico. Your father and mother both came back and forth several times as undocumented people. Was this something that was just sort of accepted, fairly easy to do when you were growing up, or were other people in the town doing it as well?
Yeah, it was actually many years before my border crossing, it was more fluid. You know, migrants can come and go, and they had no problem, especially like during the Bracero movement. A lot of people would always come back, and it was seasonal. Coming to the U.S. was seasonal. You know, they'll come, work here for a few months, and then go home, and that's the way it was. You know, they would always come home and then leave again. By the time my father immigrated, things were getting a little harder. Not as hard as they are today, but they were getting a little harder. And when I did the border crossing, we snuck across Tijuana, you know, the Tijuana border. And now you can't do that because there's a big wall there. And a lot of people are now, that's why they're trying through the desert because of the wall. When I crossed, there was no wall, but we still got caught two times by Border Patrol. So it wasn't that easy. And, you know, we on our second crossing, we found a dead man hidden under the bushes. So there was some danger involved. But I think now with the border enforcement being what it is and the border has been militarized, the parents here are basically stuck and they can't go home the way my father went home to get us. They can't go home, which has now created families to be separated for much longer than before. And then parents, because they can't go back, they're forced to send for their children. So what we're seeing now is children coming on their own to cross the border to try to be reunited with their parents. And I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to cross alone. My father was able to come back for me and make the journey across the border with me. So even though it was, you know, dangerous, I had my father by my side. And the kids nowadays, they don't have that, you know, that they're going at it on their own, which I just think it's really heartbreaking to think of these little kids trying to cross the border by themselves.
Yeah, it's unimaginable what they go through as little children. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for us here, like, we don't even let our kids cross the street by themselves. And then you have thousands of immigrant children who are putting their lives in danger just because they want to have a family the way I did when I crossed the border.
Reina Grande, the book is called The Distance Between Us. It's the One Maryland One book selection this year from the Maryland Humanities Council on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. You have an acute memory of these events from your childhood, and you have essentially, by the end of the book, you know, you tell us about how you've basically been abandoned by your father. You've been abandoned by your mother, who has taken up with someone else. She's even had a baby with another person. You really are on your own, but you make it through college. You become a writer. You've gotten yourself firmly established here in the United States. These memories memories that you have from your childhood strike me as incredibly vivid. I mean, you're remembering everything. There's a lot of kids going through the the abuse that you and your siblings endured, the abandonment, the harsh treatment by your grandmother and your grandparents. A lot of kids suppress that kind of thing, mm-hmm. but it doesn't seem to be suppressed at all in your mind.
No, I think for me, I always wanted to remember because I felt that it was important for me to always remember where I came from. And when I started writing at 13, I always wrote about my experiences in Mexico and here in the U.S. I always wrote them down because I didn't want to forget. And I think writing, the act of writing, has really helped me to heal. And I felt that I had to write those things down because if I suppressed them, you know, they were just going to make me a very bitter person to hold it all in. And I didn't want that to happen to me. So I decided to just, you know, write them down and to be honest with all the feelings that I had and use the writing as a way to help me to come to a place of understanding.
Well, it's a book, I'm sure. You obviously haven't forgotten what happened. And when folks read this book, they're not going to forget this book either. It's really quite powerful. So thanks so much for your time. And thanks for the book.
Thank you.
Raina Grande, she's the author of The Distance Between Us, which has been chosen as this year's One Maryland, One Book selection. Tonight, Ms. Grande will be at the Carroll County Arts Center in Westminster. She'll be in Salisbury tomorrow night at Warwick Community College. And on Wednesday morning, she'll be at the Germantown campus of Montgomery College. And she'll speak at the Waldorf West Branch Library on Wednesday night. We've got a link to details about all of the One Maryland, One Book events that'll take place not only this week, but throughout the year. Come to our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. And this program, be sure to tune in to WYPR Thursday afternoons at 5:45 for the Humanities Connection, hosted by the Executive Director of the Maryland Humanities Council, Phoebe Stein. Maryland Morning is an original production of Your Public Radio, WYPR, in Baltimore. The show is produced by Matt Purdy and Jamila Kay. Nathan Sterner directs and engineers. We've got production help from Payam Agagasam and Elizabeth Sherwood. For more about what you've heard on our show or to catch something you've missed, come on over to our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Wednesday morning here on the program, a conversation about a novel set in Baltimore in which the lines between racial and ethnic identity are blurred surgically. For Sheila Cast, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening.